Well, amen, Amber. One day we're going to put a let her sing a song that she can really, you know, reach out there on. Teresa, thank you so much. Teresa didn't know until early today she was playing this morning, and she's done a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's always neat when the Lord takes things and works them out like they ought to be. Whoever put the pulpit back didn't square it up. And now it's rocking. I knew I should have did it myself. That's what happens. Oh, well. I don't know why I didn't change the title. I changed the title a little bit. I don't know if this is proper English. Amber, you had to tell me. Choosing to change and forget, or choosing to change and... I'm sorry. Choosing to forget and change, or choosing to forget and to change. See, I thought, okay, all right. I punched it in mine, but it didn't syncify back over. All right. Philippians 3 today. Choosing to forget and change. Not another two in there. Two. Okay, sorry. I see that now. All right. Okay, that makes sense. Philippians 3. And that's the reason why I subscribe to a program called Grammarly. That's what happens when you don't pay attention in school, in English class, and then you have to speak in front of people. And so I have somebody check behind me. Anytime I send out anything, either Tina or Amber or Ashley, I have them check it and say, hey, look over this. And they're like, Dad, you can't write like you talk. I don't know what that means, but apparently it doesn't work out. I pause a lot. Part of that is because I read the Bible a lot. Amen, a preacher ought to. But the King James pauses a lot. It has a lot of commas and semicolons and all that in there. And the reason why, it was meant to be read in public. That's the reason why. Tina's always after me. She says, you can't put so many commas in it. But I like commas because that's where I pause. She says, it won't. Oh, well. Back again. You can't write like you talk. Choosing, though. How many of you have ever forgotten something? You forgot something, maybe. Or you forgot something big. Maybe, you know, you forgot your wedding anniversary. Usually that's, you know, a one-time offense. You'll never forget it again. You know, your wife's birthday, something like that. Those things, you know, those are bad. They'll happen, and, you know, you should not forget those. That's the reason why everybody don't have Google Calendar, all right? Put those reminders on there so that you know, Brother Wendell, whenever it's Barb's birthday and all that. And so you don't forget those things, your anniversary, you know, all kinds of things. Yeah. Yeah. Your birthday, Andrew, right? Okay. We forgot AJ one time at church. He was, I don't know, 4 or 5, somewhere in there, maybe 6. He was sleeping on the front row. And we were closing up the church, and we left, and we went home. We lived about 15 minutes away from church. Church building was on the side of a 4-lane highway. That was back in Florida years ago. You know, we got in the house, you know, after Sunday evening service, and, you know, making all the preparations. We looked around and thought, this is quiet. Where's AJ? Started looking. He wasn't with us. We drove separate cars. So I went back to the church, unlocked the door, turned on the lights, walked in. He was still asleep on the front row. I started to just pick him up and take him home so he'd never know. But I woke him up anyways. I've forgotten things. But today I want to encourage you to choose to forget. Choose. Let's read a little bit. Philippians chapter 3. Let's begin verse number 7. Philippians 3, verse number 7, the Word of God says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The Apostle Paul, right here in this letter to the church at Philippi, he's really revealing his heart. He's revealing it in a way that none of the other letters even come close to imitating this. He's telling the church there that he's not where he wants to be at in his Christian walk. He said, I'm reflecting, I'm looking back at my life, and I realize that the things that I thought were important are not really that important whenever you compare them with the things of God. And then he says, in verse number 9, he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. By the way, the Apostle Paul, if anybody tried to work their way to heaven by doing good works, it was Paul until he got saved. He says, in all of that, keeping of the law, he says, I know that's not what it's about. He says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse number 10, if you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible or somehow highlighted, I would encourage you to do this, because this is a tremendous verse. Paul, I can almost sense him crying out. We've got to remember, the book of Philippians was written while Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. And he writes in verse number 10, that I may know him. He said, all the other things I count as loss, as dung, as refuge, as trash. But he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He says, I want God to have my life. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He says, listen, he says, what I want to do is I want to live my life in such a way that I die to myself daily and I live for God. Verse number 12. He says, not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect. The word perfect there means maturing in the faith. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, I want to experience the power of God, not only for salvation, but for living. He essentially is saying this, I don't want Jesus just to be my Savior. I want Him to be my Lord. I want Jesus not just to save me from hell, but I want to live for Him while I'm on earth. Verse number 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. And here it is, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All of us struggle with different areas of our lives at different times. Some struggle with the present, maybe with finances or relationships or burdens or maybe society. Some struggle with the future. What is my health going to be like? What is my future going to be like? There's uncertainty. Some struggle with the past. Decisions that they made, sins that they were involved in, choices that they made, regrets that they have. Can I tell you something? These areas are real hindrances in our walk with God sometimes. For some, the present is difficult. Others dread the unknown future. But for many, our worst foe is the past. Mainly because the past is able to become a dreadful present. Satan, the great deceiver, has tempted, tested, tainted, and brought turmoil to people because of a past that haunts them. Most of us remember a place in our childhood that was haunted. How many of you had a monster living in the closet or under the bed when you were little? I remember Mrs. Barger one time told me about her children. I said something about monster living under the bed, and she told me, she said, I told my kids that there was a monster living under their bed, and if they got out of bed, he would get them. I thought, whoa, that sweet old lady, what's the matter with you? That's cruel. Growing up, I had a bedroom. My brother and I, we shared a bedroom for the first 10 or 12 years of our lives, and or of my life and 8 of his. But there was a closet that had a door on one end, and on the other, up by the wall, it had those doors that had the louvers on it. And I'm not lying. There were some nights that I looked over there and I could see eyes looking through those louvers at me. I'll tell you, I pulled that blanket up over my head because, you know, when you're little, a blanket can protect you from everything. Amen. And, but you know, we have probably memories of places that were haunted. But I believe sometimes that there are a lot of lives that are haunted. See, Satan hasn't changed. The Bible says, you are of your father, the devil. Jesus is speaking to a religious Pharisees, and he says, in the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can I tell you something? The devil's a liar. He's going to lie to you about everything. First, he tempts a person maybe to make light of sin and temptation. Adam and Eve, kind of like, you know, well, let's go ahead and do this. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it turned out to be a big deal. I read on Facebook the other day, they were the first people to disregard the Apple sign and consent form. Disregard it, got them in all kind of trouble. Here's the second thing the devil tells us. When you've committed a sin, he then tries to persuade the sinner that there's no forgiveness. Can I tell you something today? There's forgiveness with God. The Apostle Paul is writing about that. You've got to remember, before this time in Paul's life, he sought out Christians and had them put to death for following Jesus. Yet Jesus saved him. Paul says, I'm going to forget about those things. I'm going to move forward. Let me give you a couple thoughts today. Number one, if you have your handouts. Number one, the two words today, and it's going to be reflect and remember, or vice versa. Remember and reflect. Paul writes in verse number 7, he says, but what things were counted, or what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. You know what he's doing? He's remembering. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. They shall be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. Let the wicked forsake his way. You know what the Word of God tells us over and over again? Remember and reflect. You know what happens whenever I remember what Jesus has saved me from? It causes me to rejoice today. It causes me to be thankful for what God has done in my life. Sometimes we get caught up and we look at are all the bad that happened and maybe all the bad that we did. But you know what? In that time frame, God was working in your life and in mine. And every once in a while, we just need to remember and reflect. The Bible says this about our sins. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgressions from us. The devil will say, you know what? There's no way you can be saved. There's no way that you're going to heaven. There's no way that a person that talks like that or acts like that is truly a born-again Christian. But you got to remember this. It's not about what I do or even what I am. It's about who He is and what I've done with Him in my life. Lo, I'm with you always, Jesus says. Remember and reflect. If we confess our sins, He God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Has there ever been a time in your life that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, preacher, why are you saying that to this crowd here? Because we need to start the new year out right. And if you've struggled all through last year, knowing that something was wrong in your life, knowing as the God of the heaven, as the Holy Spirit worked, knew that something should change, then why not let that happen? Now, remember, reflect. What needs to change this year? It could be salvation. I can remember every year that when I was in Bible college, the first couple weeks of Bible college, every year, we're Bible college students now. Every year, we would have student after student after student that would come and get saved. Every year. I remember one year, it was right around the beginning of the year, we were at Landmark, and one of the ladies that was playing the piano, it was invitation time, and we were singing Just As I Am, you know, because every independent Baptist church, that's what they always sing during the invitation. And we were singing that, and everybody was singing, and nobody recognized that, hey, the piano's not playing anymore. A lady had been a piano player for years. You know what she realized that day? She realized, I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. She grew up in a Christian home. She grew up in a Christian school. All of us, but there's never been a time. So I'm going to encourage you today, remember and reflect. Remember when you got saved. Reflect on what God has done in your life. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, I want you to challenge you to remember and to reflect. But then, in verse number 9, he says, and be found in Him. All right, you've looked back, you've realized, you know what, I am saved, and be found in Him, not having your own righteousness. Don't try to do it on your own. Let Him do it through you. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says, listen, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Remember and reflect. And number two, if you need to, you need to repent. Maybe your life is not where it ought to be. Maybe your heart's not where it ought to be. Maybe you've allowed a sin to creep in and it's like 2023. And I wrote my check this morning and I almost wrote 2022, but I remembered my New Year's resolution. I would not do that this year. So I remembered. Maybe you look back at last year and maybe you're carrying something over. Take a moment and repent. Take a moment and say, Lord, I want to start this year right. My attitude, my heart, my life is not where it ought to be. And then he says in verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You know what he says? And then rejoice. Rejoice. I'm going to remember. I'm going to reflect. I'm going to repent if need be. And then I'm going to rejoice. Oh, it's time for God's people to rejoice. You say, how can I do that? That I may know Him. Paul didn't say that I may know about Him. He said that I may know Jesus. Not about Jesus, but that I may know Jesus. By knowing Jesus is when He can begin to change our lives. He says, I want to know Him. I want the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. I want that power to change my life. Paul wrote over in the book of Romans, he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By the way, the resurrection from the dead is what proves Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what makes Christianity different and far superior than any other belief system in all the world. So many say, there's no way that God can forgive me. My past is too horrible. My sins are just too great. Sometimes the devil will lie to you. Maybe you have a friend or a family member or someone, and you think they've gone too far. You know one of the things I love about the Word of God? God takes the worst case scenarios and shows you often that He can do something with them. There were two men one day. that went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a publican. Publican was a tax collector, IRS agent, if you will. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Man, what a prayer. Other men are extortioners, they're unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. He said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This man is telling God how good he is and reminding God of what he does for him. But then the Bible, Jesus says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This man went down to his house justified. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. The people mocked him, made fun of him, not just because of his short stature, but because of what he did. Jesus saw him up in that tree. Jesus looked past all the others in the crowd and recognized him and called him by name. Can I tell you something today? Jesus knows your name. He called him down. He said, Zacchaeus, get down from here. He said, I'm coming over to your house today. The phraseology that is there is not only am I coming over to eat dinner with you, but I'm coming over to reside with you forever. You know what Zacchaeus said? Wow. Okay. And immediately Zacchaeus changed his life. Well, Zacchaeus didn't. Jesus did. I read in John chapter 8 about a woman that they brought to Jesus. And they told her, they said, mockingly, they said, Master, we caught this woman in adultery in the very act. Threw her down. Every time I read that story, I think about the video that we show often on Easter. A woman being thrown down by those religious hypocrites. The law demands that she should be stoned for this act. Jesus bends over and begins to write in the dirt. I don't know what he wrote in the dirt. I've got some ideas. Maybe he wrote the Ten Commandments. I don't know. I wonder if maybe he wrote the name of those other men that had been committing adultery. He said, hey, he said, those that are without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. Well, I don't know. But whatever happened, those men turned and started walking away. Jesus stooped back down, continued to ride again. When we look back up, everyone's gone except for the woman. Jesus lifted himself. He said to her, woman, where are your accusers at? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. I put this in your notes. You know what we see here? Mercy and truth. Here's mercy. Neither do I condemn thee. And all God's people said, amen for mercy. But here's truth. Go and sin no more. You've been forgiven. You've been cleansed. Don't fall back into the hog trough. But if you do, remember and reflect and repent, and Jesus will forgive you, and you can go forward with rejoicing. There was a woman that came along at the well. There's a forgiven woman in Luke 7. There's Peter. Peter walked with Jesus, but he denied him. The Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. And then he went a-fishing. They came and they talked to the angel at the resurrection site, and the angel said, he's not here. He's risen, like he said. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. And then you have the story at the end of John where the men are out fishing. They look up and Jesus is standing on the shore cooking dinner for them. Peter jumps out of the boat and swims. He's always impetuous like that. He comes to Jesus and the others finally make it there. And as Jesus is feeding them and taking care of them, he asked Peter three times, maybe once for each one of the denials. But I sense in that passage that he's bringing Peter to a place of repentance. And then he brings Peter to a place of restoration. Because then you read in Acts chapter number 2, on that day where Peter stood and preached just a simple gospel message, and 3,000 people came and got saved in that one day. The devil, or possibly our guilty consciences, will always try to bring up our past mistakes. I don't know what harms my thinking worse, but I believe that it's the what ifs. What if I'd have done that? What if I didn't do that? What if I would have said that? What if I wouldn't have said that? But here's a truth today. If you've repented, and if you needed to, go and make it right with that person you sinned against, then you can rejoice because Jesus has forgiven your sins. I choose to forget and to change. Number 3. Remind and refocus. Verse number 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He says, I know that. But verse number 12, I love this little phrase, but I follow after. Steve didn't know this today whenever he chose the songs, but I will follow Jesus. That's what Paul is writing. He says, I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, I want the love of Jesus not only to save me, but I want it to transform me. Sometimes we can live in the past, and that past can become giants. Sometimes others live in the past and they let things like this go by. I realize that the older I get, I fall into this pattern. I say stuff like the good old days. Well, or it used to be. But you know, sometimes the way it used to be and staying over there hinders my walk for today. I was reading recently, the nation of Israel, as they were coming back out of bondage, God allowed Nehemiah to build the wall, Ezra to build the temple. And reading through that passage there about them building the temple, there's a group of old men that the Bible says in the book of Ezra, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men, that means really old, that had seen the first house, they had seen the first temple. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. They were weeping because they said, this house will not be as great as that house. Stop lamenting the ways that things used to be. Remind, but then refocus. Because I don't live in yesterday. I can't change yesterday. I can't do anything about it. It's done. It's complete. But you know what I can do? I can live for Jesus today. But I can't live for Jesus today if I'm stuck in yesterday. Whatever God is doing, it needs to be seen as marvelous in our eyes. Sometimes we lament some of the great revivals of the past, and we miss the revival that God's wanting to do in our life. You say, oh, I long for the church to be packed. So do I. But I long for my heart to be filled with things of God. Don't let me get so lost in this that I long for this to be what it used to be, that I miss what God wants me to be today and all God's people said. Whatever God is doing is to be seen as marvelous in our eyes. It's not about what we want it to be. It's about what God wants it to be. There's some things I can't change. But there's somebody that I have complete control over, and that is me. The Apostle Paul is writing through this passage, and here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, he says, I want you to remind yourself and remember some of these things. I want you to repent if need be. I want you to rejoice. I want you to remind yourself of what God has done and is doing. But then I want you to refocus on today. I choose to forget. Not, oh, I can't believe I forgot that. No, I choose. That's under the blood. And then I choose to change. A man was in great misery of soul. He wandered about a country lane in old England, and he walked and walked until finally exhausted, he sat down under a hedge, and he thought, I might as well end my life. And after a while of sitting there, he heard two young girls talking on the other side of the hedge. They were discussing a sermon that they heard. One of the girls said, I heard the preacher say, as he delivered this message, I heard him say this, and it stirred my soul and it gave me hope. The preacher said this, the world will always say, you've made your bed, now you must lie in it. But one, notice the capital O, one greater than the world has said, take up thy bed and walk. Thy sins are forgiven. When the devil says, you've made your bed, now lie in it, you pick that thing up and walk. Because no matter what you've done, God can forgive and change. Let's make 2023 a time, a year where the troubled past will stay in the troubled past. And we'll live in the triumphant present. May we trust Jesus in this year. May we consider Him in all that we do and say. Last two verses, brethren, verse number 13. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. I'm sorry, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to take up my bed this year. I don't want to lay in my bed, the bed of mistakes and misery. I don't want to lay in that bed. I don't want to allow the devil to give me or to get victory in my life. I want Jesus to have that. I choose and I am going to choose to forget. Maybe choose to forgive if I need to. And then I'm going to choose to allow God to change me into His image. That's what Paul says. That ought to be the prayer for all of us today. In 2023, may our desire to be more like Jesus than ever before. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. How many here today say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know that. How many raise your hand? I know I'm saved. Amen. All right, good. I'm looking around the room. Excellent. How many in the room did they say, preacher? There's some fun.